Blog Talk Radio.
Da 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 da. I was meant to fly. Oh, 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 oh. I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
Oh.
Living off what people say and giving all the power to the things that were only gonna bring me to my knees. I saw people turn their backs and leave me. And on that very day, I started believing that in the mirror was the only friend that I would ever need.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show on HYH Radio, and I'm your host, Yvonne Pierre. I believe, as many people do, that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us. Sometimes God will take everything away so that we can realize that it is Him that has brought us through. He uses our triumphs, and obstacles and things that we've been through to reach those who may not hear Him, in my opinion. I also believe that in order to reach those who are lost, you have to have a testimony of being lost yourself so that you can be able to say, you know what, I've been through that, and this is how I got through. My guest today, Ms. Bunny DeBarge Knight. Many of you know her as Bunny DeBarge. She has joined us today to share her journey, a powerful testimony, and to discuss her upcoming book, The Kept Ones. In the 70s, the group DeBarge was formed. The members were five siblings: Mark, James, Randy, L. DeBarge, and my guest today, Bunny DeBarge. She was the only female in this legendary group from Grand Rapids, Michigan, that was signed to Motown label, producing many R&B and soul hits in the 1980s. And I am honored to have her on the show today. Bunny.
Yes, hi, how are you?
How's everything going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain. It won't help anyway.
It is absolutely an honor to welcome you to the show today.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you. I wanted to go ahead and get started because I don't want to run short on time. Bunny, you went through a lot growing up. Could you share with the listeners what life was like before the group DeBarge was formed?
Well, I was born in 1955, so I guess you can guess what age I am from that. I was born in a biracial family, my father a white man and my mother being black. At that time, it was not really known. My father was very abusive, so I was brought up into a home that, with abuse. There was physical abuse, also sexual abuse. And there was just the fact of being biracial and not being accepted from the peers. We moved a lot because there was a lot of abuse going on. My mom was going back and forth to my dad. We were raised in the church, and the church didn't believe in abortion, so we were, my mom was having children. We're not, the first five of us aren't even a year apart. They also believed in the woman staying with the husband. And this caused a lot of problems in our life because my father was very abusive. And my mom kept going back to the abusive relationship. From there, I guess we moved from Detroit, where I was born, to Grand Rapids, and I call Grand Rapids Freedom Town. I talk about that in the book. We were free from Daddy for a minute, but Daddy did come back and live with us. And we learned a lot of dysfunctional ways, our love, our sharing, just being in the church, of how we forgave was even dysfunctional. From there, we were always singing, you know, but we went from the church singing to secular music, which was something that the church looked as a no-no. It was devil's music. So we left our Lord and we went out into the world to do secular music. Before then, also in the 70s, was a time where drugs was a thing to do. And we got off into drugs. Just from the peers around us or whatever, you smoked a joint, you loved the one you were with. You know, so
right.
I think that's when our drugs started.
Wow. You said a lot. you touched on one thing about being biracial growing up during the 50s, which was, you're right, was a no-no.
Oh, right, exactly. It was especially for a white man and a black woman.
Yeah, yeah. So that and dealing with the sexual abuse and the other abuse that went on, do you think that had a part in the drugs too?
Yes, I think that, like I said, it was the day and time for drugs. But as I got on drugs, I learned that, you know, drugs made me happy. That's what I felt. I could laugh and I could hide my pain through numbing, you know, by doing drugs.
Yeah, yeah. You got the deal with Motown in the early 80s. This was a dream come true. but some celebrities have a hard time dealing with fame. How did you deal with it?
Actually, coming from a biracial family, and we weren't liked a lot. We always felt set apart from the world and other people, from the family, from our friends. So when we became famous, everyone loved us, and we loved that feeling that we were now being accepted by the world. So we then I guess we would just buy people to be around us, buy people to love us, and we kind of pushed one another away, which was all we had. One another as children. Now that the people liked us, we were pushing one another away and putting them in each other's place, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of siblings kind of do that as far as taking stuff out on each other. Most people kind of are quick to hurt those that are closest to them.
Exactly.
Yeah. The group eventually split, and which I think that's where you were saying you kind of pushed each other away from each other. This was in the late 80s, early 90s. Although many groups split and many members go off and do their individual projects, some group members are okay with it and some take it personally and have a hard time dealing with it. How did this affect you and why?
Well, because we were family and all we had was one another, I think we took it more personally than a group that was just coming, they just put together. We were always there as family. So it was like when it came the time where we were breaking up, we were not just breaking up as a group, we were breaking up as a family.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that was very hard to deal with. Even though I feel that all of us felt that we were just as talented as the other, and when they started focusing on one person, it brought about conflict among one another. And we couldn't just walk away as if we weren't family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think it was bigger with us because we were family, and it was harder on us to deal with.
So it was sibling, what they call sibling rivalry.
Exactly.
The group, and which probably was kind of a strain going, you know, from everything you were dealing with up until that point, as well as dealing with the fame and the group breaking up and all.
Right.
That
I mean, as children, all we had was one another, and we had each other's back, and then all of a sudden, here we are, and they have separated us from one another, and it was very hard on us. It was very hard on us to hurt one another like that, and to go on and act as if nothing has happened.
How are y'all
and that
now?
Brought about more drug abuse.
How are y'all relationship now?
Our relationship now, Yvonne, is coming full circle, and that is my reasoning for writing the book as well. Hopefully that all the members of the family will read it, and that we will become back the close family that we used to be. That's coming, and my faith in God is that that will be soon, that this will all come in full circle, and that we will be back together as a family, and we will be back together as children of God, and that we will be on stage together, and God will get the glory out of our life.
You are now drug-free.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
How did you get to this point? What was the final straw that led you to change your life?
Well, it was a lot of repeating. being raised in the church, I actually had to be free from the church, delivered from pretending. Because I was raised in church, I received the word of God. I did not conceive it. God was always my Savior, and I had to make God my Lord. I had to make His word real to me and realize that every word that is in the word of God is like a love letter to me. And I had to constantly say God in the morning, God in the noonday, and God in the evening. It had to be a constant thing where I seeked Him constantly. And I had to get away from what Mama taught me, what Daddy taught me, what my uncle taught me, what the church taught me, and know God personally as my Savior and my Lord. That's what helped me. And I'm not going to say that it happened instantly. It was something that I had to repeat. I repeated pages until I knew what to let go of. I had to know all the things that I thought were right in my life. I knew all the things that were wrong. But things that I really believed were like right, such as my love, my sharing, and my forgiving, only God could show me that I was dysfunctional there. And so I would say me making my relationship with God real is what brought me out.
Yeah. I think, and I commend you for that and sharing your story, too. You recently wrote a book, your debut book, called The Kept Ones.
Right.
What is The Kept Ones about?
The Kept Ones is about my family. It talks about our childhood. It talks about the call on our life that was written before we were born, and that Satan took a peek into it, and how we went where life destined us to be, and how we not go to our destiny, that we're going to our destiny. The book talks about the abuses in our childhood. It also talks about how we got with Motown. It talks about the drug problems. It talks about the generational curses and how we are able to see them and make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Wow. what challenges did you face when you were writing the book?
When I first started out writing the book, I was still on drugs, Javon. And in writing the pain of my life, God dropped that in my spirit 5 years ago, and this took me back to the journey of my life. The book was actually, I was writing for me and for my healing. And as I was writing and the Lord was showing me what to let go of and to cry my last cry, I was still relating back to drugs because of the pain and numbing with the drugs. So I got free through writing the book. You know, it was, that was a challenge. It was also a challenge also dealing with my family, what they would think and what they would say for about me writing this. And I think if the book was put out a couple of years ago, I probably wouldn't be able to face it. But from the things that I've been through and going back and writing the book and where I was in my mind and where I am now, I am able to write it and not care what people think, because I know that this is what God wants me to do, and
yeah,
that it's going to be a healing for my family as well and for others that are going through the same thing,
right,
or some of the same things.
Why did you feel, well, I came across your testimony a couple of years ago, I believe, which is on your MySpace page.
Right.
And I commend you for coming out. As I said earlier, I commend you for coming out with your story, because a lot of people do feel that what they go through is to keep it to themselves because they fear what people are going to think, like you said.
Exactly.
Or they fear because telling your story is also telling other people's story, too.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So I think that it's not just sharing your story, but it's to empower others. I really think that we're all here to be, I guess, a habitat for each other.
Right. I mean, I want to be a mirror to those to see that how God set me free. And secrets keep you sick, and particularly kind and all that, you know what I'm saying? It's time out for that. If you want to be set free, you have to deal with yourself, and you have to forgive yourself, and you have to forgive others that have done things for you. You have to realize that those that you haven't forgiven, you're carrying the rest of your life, you know? In order for me to love myself, I have to love my father. And my father has done terrible things, or my mom, the things that have happened in my life have been terrible, but I had to learn how to forgive them in order to love myself. And you have to come real with yourself with that, you know, because it's like, where are we going in the end of this? What are we living for? In the end, it's like, we want to see God, you know, and in order to see God, we have to deal with ourselves. We have to deal with the people that we haven't forgiven, and we have to forgive ourselves. And things that we've turned our heads to and covered up has to be brought out, you know, in order to be set free.
I believe that, and I believe, and it's crippling. It's crippling.
Exactly. Keeps you sick.
It's like,
and then it goes down into the generation, you know, you repeat and you see your children repeating. And nothing hurts more than anything in the world when you see that your children are repeating the same things that you're doing. If you're brought up in an abusive relationship, you get into an abusive relationship, and then your children are abused, and then their children are abused. And you have to see the big picture of it all, that there's more that we don't see that's happening than what we see. You know, and that it's in the spirit world that this is really something that has destined our lives. So the one that sees it is the one to break it. And we're breaking it not just for ourselves. We're breaking it for the next generation and the generation after them.
Wow. I absolutely believe that. And I wanted to touch on, too, I wanted to ask you, for those who say, you know, I hear people say all the time, you know, well, what would make you happy? I'd be happy if I had some money. Or if I was famous, I would be happy. What would you say to people like that, that
I
believe
would say,
that money would complete them?
I would say only what you do for Christ will last. And I've had money and without direction and without protection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it meant nothing. God is success to me today, and keeping him in my life and letting him being the director of who I really am and where I'm supposed to go, money is second, you know what I'm saying? If you're about his business, he's about yours. So that's what I would say. Only what you do for Christ will last. Everything else is going to pass away.
Yeah. And if you're not whole within yourself and whole, too, with spiritually grounded, you're doomed.
You don't. I mean, so you have no direction, you know.
Yeah.
And it really is about God and Satan, you know, and you're either for him or you're for Satan, you know. So who you serve?
Yeah. What word of advice would you give to those who are currently going through something or having a hard time getting over something?
I would say for them to plant a seed to the Lord and tell him. That's what I did. I said, Lord, help me. If that's all you can say, if you don't know anything else to say, Lord, help me. I want to know who I am. I want to be who you want me to be, you know, and just plant that seed and, excuse me, and believe that God is going to take you through the journey of your life to show you what to let go of. And once you let go, you can move. Realize that you are where life has destined you to be, but it's not your destiny. Realize that all the mess that you're going through did not come to break you. It came to make you. And that God can turn that all around and work it for your good and make your mess your message.
Well, I like that. Your mess, your message.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's what's happening to me today.
Yeah.
Just telling what I've been through and how I got through it and telling, I mean, every day we're still going through something. We're still going through a struggle or whatever, and we are each other's keeper, and we are to tell each other how we get through it.
I believe once someone recover, in order to stay addictive-free, your perception on how you once viewed your past or current obstacles has changed. How has the way you see life changed?
Mine was through, honestly, like I said before, putting God first in my life over everything, making his word real to me. And because I've learned other people will let you down. If man puts you up, man can snatch you down. But if God puts you up, nobody can do it but him. And God is, he's over everything. So My belief in God, my putting him first, my getting up in the morning and acknowledging him, who he is, and staying in the word is what helps me keep addicted free.
Wow. I think that it's the truth.
Yeah.
It has to, that is really no way around.
I've lived so much of a wrong life and very little of a good life. So I have to have the word that I believe in more than anything else in my mind, you know what I'm saying,
right,
in front of me to make it, because everything else has failed me, the drug programs, the, even in me conditioning my own mind. I mean, I can't do it without Christ. But through Christ Jesus, I can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. What can people expect from reading the Kept Ones?
People can, I believe, a lot of our fans out there, and we still have a lot of fans, and I like to thank them for still being around and still loving DeBarge. But those that loved us and love us today will learn and understand where DeBarge came from, what DeBarge went through, why DeBarge went where they went, and our how we're going into our destiny. And I think they will see it come full circle. And also, I feel that it will be a healing to my family. They will have to read it, and they will come, you know, full circle themselves. And for those that are hurting out there and have gone through some of the same things that we've been through, can see that there is hope.
When does the book release?
The book is released June 14th. It will be in the stores, Target, Walmart, be in all the bookstores. You can also go to my website, thekeptones.com, and you can also go to MySpace, Bunny DeBarge, and pre-order there. And then, you know, a website, you can go through a journey. I don't know if you've been there yet, but go through a journey of the book with me, telling you what the book is about and
that,
and pre-order.
To the website.
Hmm?
I say, yeah, I've been to the website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of my website.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
Before we go, we have a few more minutes left. Could you share with us an inspirational word?
I would like to say, I guess, those that don't understand, aren't in the plan. A lot of times, God shows us stuff. He's a personal God, and he shows us stuff in our life, and we expect everyone around us to see. And when they don't, we become discouraged. So I would like to say that a lot of times, it isn't shown to everybody else, and to keep believing what God has showed you. And if they don't understand what's going on, that God has given you, they're not in the plan.
I like that. I want to, again, commend you for
Thank you.
Sharing your story and allowing God to use you. And I want to congratulate you on your new book, The Cap One, which is due to release June 14th.
That's right.
Okay. Going on memory. You're truly an inspiration to me, and I'm sure you're inspirational. Your story is inspirational to other people, too.
Well, that's what it's about. He has turned around my mess and made it a message. And as I walk right now into my destiny, you know, I mean, every day, I'm not going to say it's a great life or it's easy or anything, because it's not that. But with Christ in my life, I can do it.
Yeah.
I can do it.
Thank you again. And I wish
your
family, many blessings, and I pray that you do come full circle, and that the book is an absolute success beyond your expectations.
Thank you. Hopefully that it will be a movie. That is my dream, for Alicia Keys to pay me.
I can see that. It was an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Bunny.
Thank you. It was a pleasure for you having me. And I'd like to thank all my fans for keeping in touch. And please keep us in your prayers.
And give that website one more time.
Thekeptones.com.
Thank you for joining us. I wanted to also thank the listeners for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show on HYH Radio. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to just let me know or let us know what you think about the show, please visit www.hyhradio.com. Be blessed and a blessing to others. Thank you.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not going to let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no. I was
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no. I was meant to fly over hills and mountains, over lakes and valleys. I was meant to fly.